This is an Aero News Touch and Go for November 6, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery prepared for the trip home on Sunday, undocking from the International Space Station at 5:32 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday over the South Pacific. STS-120 pilot George Zamka backed the orbiter about 400 feet from the station and performed a fly-around to allow crew members to collect video and imagery of the station in its new configuration. He completed the final separation engine burn at 7:15 p.m. The shuttle crew members Monday used the shuttle's robot arm and the 50-foot-long orbiter boom sensor system to inspect the craft's heat shield tiles and will spend Tuesday preparing for landing. Discovery's first landing opportunity is 1:02 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday at the Kennedy Space Center. Two pilots and three flight attendants on a Monday morning U.S. Airways shuttle flight from Washington, D.C. to Boston fell ill, and they were treated at the gate at Logan International for symptoms consistent with carbon monoxide poisoning. Boston's WBZ television reports the five were taken to Massachusetts General Hospital. None of the 81 passengers were affected. Flight 2022 was an Airbus A319. A U.S. Airways spokesperson says the crew worked on a different flight earlier in the day and had complained about a sulfur-like smell on board that aircraft. According to FlightAware.com, Flight 2022 departed Reagan International Airport at 7:32 a.m. Eastern Time and quickly returned to the airport. The crew and passengers apparently boarded another aircraft at that point, and that plane arrived at Logan without incident at 10:20 a.m. It's not clear whether the earlier incident was related to the crew's illnesses and why the passengers were not affected. With more and more Cessnas buzzing around Independence Municipal Airport in Kansas, some turbine-powered, the time had come to open a control tower. And on Monday it happened. Cessna announced the opening of an FAA air traffic control tower, providing services for the new Class D airspace there. Five controllers staff the tower, which is located at the south end of Cessna's flight hangar, and is operational 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. local time. Three commemorative flights were scheduled Monday to celebrate. A Cessna Skyhawk 172R, the first aircraft produced at the Independence plant, was scheduled to perform the first tower-controlled takeoff. The first landing was to be a Citation Mustang, and the first transient arrival, a CJ-2 carrying company and city officials. The Independence Airport anticipates more than 50,000 operations annually. In House testimony last week, American Federation of Government Employees National President John Gage told lawmakers that the Transportation Security Administration has made decisions which have created or exacerbated obstacles to the duties of TSA officers, who are called TSOs. According to a February 2007 report from the Government Accountability Office, under TSA's staffing allocation model, quote, training is relegated to times when there is surplus staffing and should occur during less busy times, unquote. Gage said the current staffing model isn't providing time for that training. Gage says he's had reports that TSOs faced ridicule or retaliation for requesting legally mandated training or for offering suggestions for process improvement. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you about these stories. United gives up on its dual jet bridges in Denver. Northwest attempts an attitude makeover. And NTSB honors first responders in Lexington. Also, check out our ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Kate Hanai, founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. We'll get an update. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.